How many of us remember that old goofy Batman series of the 60s? I remember it. It was obviously reruns. I wasn't born until 71, and heck, I guess as far as a memory, I guess I had to have been 6 or 7 or 8 before I could really start, you know, remembering the things that I went back on. So it was definitely in reruns, I guess, but I remember that old show. You seen Batman? I thought it was goofy then. I really don't know how it ever took off, but evidently it did. It was just entertaining. It was lighthearted, and it was entertaining. And they would hit somebody, and you would see the pow and the boom and all that stuff. And, you know, and of course, we have memes now where they have a picture and people put all these kinds of words. And I guess one of the most iconic pictures you can think of with Batman was when they had that big bomb that was going off. And he's holding it above his head. And he's running here and he can't get rid of it. And he runs over here and stuff. And so they made fighting and getting smacked around kind of funny, you know. But I want to ask you something. Why do you think Paul got his head beat in? 2 Corinthians 11:24 through 27. Paul said, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Pretty rough right there. I wouldn't want to go through that one time. Somebody catch you doing something and spread you out like that. And take that old whip, whack, across the back. Whack again. 39 times. And then he gets caught again doing something. That happens again. Third time. Well, think about this. This is actually what happened to Paul. Pretty rough. Once he was stoned. You ever got hit in the head with something? It hurts. I mean, it just, you know, your head is kind of tender. You got the skull right there. So you can take a pretty good blow if you know it's coming. But getting stoned, hitting the rib with a rock, upside the face, hitting the arm, elbow. You know, you smack your elbow against something. I believe that would hurt pretty bad. 3 times he was shipwrecked. I was scared to death first time we went on the cruise. What would happen if that boat went down? It happens. Would it get to us in time? 3 times he was shipwrecked. A night and a day, he's been in the deep. There's a movie called Open Water, and it's based on, it's not an actual couple that happened, but it was based on what actually happens. People go out into open water to go scuba diving, look at fish, sharks, whatever, and they're missed. The boat leaves, they come up from scuba diving, and there's nobody around. And the movie was, they stayed there for, I guess, a day and a half. The sun went down and came back up the next day, and it was hopeless. One of them died, and the other one just took off their gear and just dove underwater. A day and a half, he was in the deep, wondering if this was going to be his time, that it was going to be it. 3 times he was shipwrecked. He did all kinds of journeys, going to places that he wasn't really accustomed to the people. He didn't really know anybody. Perils of water, perils of robber. You ever been robbed? I was in school. I guess I had a kid take my lunch money from me a couple times. I learned I needed to do something about that. I didn't know until it happened, I guess. It's kind of scary. I've never been robbed as an adult. Perils of his own countrymen. You wouldn't think that when you go into your own household that people wouldn't want you there and would throw you right on out. I ain't coming if they're there. I ain't coming. Get them out of here. You wouldn't think that would happen. Perils of the Gentiles. Perils of the city. Perils of wilderness. Perils of the sea. Perils among false brethren. I think that pretty much about covers it. I think everywhere he put his foot, he was in trouble. Tired. I don't think I should be as tired as I am at the age I am. 47 years old, and I don't think I should be as tired as I am. I've checked with the doctors and stuff. I know a little bit about tiredness, but not about the way tiredness that some people know. Toil. You know what toil is? It'd be like if this whole room was full of yarn and you found the end of it over here, and here's what you did. You was going like this, walking around. You're trying to get that yarn up. You worked at it for an hour, hour and a half, and you're like, whew. And then you look around and it don't even look like you've done anything. Just toiling away the days. Sleeplessness. I guess off and on I battle with insomnia, so I know what it's like to get an hour and a half sleep or finally fall asleep and that alarm goes off. You're almost like a zombie. Hunger and thirst. Not so much. Fastings. Not fasted much in my life. And I'm not talking about dieting. I'm talking about for what God would have us to do. I've tried some. It does clear the cobwebs. Kind of keeps you focused on what you're doing when you get hungry and you're doing it for God. Kind of hard to do. Cold and nakedness. Well, I've never been naked except for my choice until I was a little infant, other than that. But I know what coldness means. Heat is uncomfortable. Cold just hurts. I know what it's like to be cold. I work outside. This was Paul's life right here. And you know, a lot of these came from people that he knew, people that he trusted, people that he thought he would be okay with. Why do you think all these things came upon Paul? He come to town peddling a bad comedy routine? He come up on stage and he said, I got a joke for everybody today. And he just wasn't funny at all. They couldn't stand to see him coming, and so they stoned him. They run him out of town. I just couldn't stand to hear that man talk one more time. His jokes weren't funny. It just wasn't working for me. I don't think he come peddling a comedy routine, do you? I don't think he come peddling a comedy routine. All these things happened to him because he tried to show people Jesus Christ. This is why he got his head beat in. This is why he got beaten 5 times, 3 times with a rod, that people threw rocks at him, that he was shipwrecked, left alone. Every place he put his foot, people were trying to come after him and run him out of town. All this man was trying to do was to teach him Christ. He saw somebody that needed something. And they looked at him and they laughed and they hated him. And he still come up to you. The Bible even says trembling. He come up to you. Because he wanted to show people who did not know Jesus Christ. A lot of people become so angry about the name of Jesus or the preaching of the gospel. You know, this nothing will fire up this world more than if you stand and say the name of Jesus. They're kind of okay if you say the name of God because that covers kind of a broad spectrum. You know? Have a moment of silence so that you can pray to your God, but just don't bring it out in front of everybody. Just don't wave it around. Nobody wants to hear that stuff. That's how a lot of people live their life. They don't ever tell anybody about Jesus. Never mention anything, never do anything, never try to be any different than anybody else that's right next to them. I tell you why they don't like it, conviction. Conviction comes upon them. It's that feeling when I'm standing here talking and you kind of get like a tightness in your chest and you move around a little bit in the seats and you just kind of get uncomfortable because you feel like that maybe I'm talking to you. I mean, I'm just preaching a sermon that I struggled with in my pajamas this morning trying to put together. That I'd been wrestling with a couple different ones during the week, and here we are. Conviction. Makes you feel uncomfortable, makes you feel like you're in the hot seat. sort of like when you know you're in trouble and that door opens and you know that judgment's coming through the other side, the principal's coming, your daddy's coming home, or mama's coming home. You just got that uncomfortable feeling. Conviction. People don't like that uncomfortableness, do they? When there's tension in the air, they don't like it. They don't like that you got a problem with me, or I might have a problem with you. And when I get close to you, well, you can feel it. It just kind of like heat off of a fire. It's uncomfortable. You don't like it. When you start to preach Jesus, people start feeling that conviction. Start wanting to swallow kind of hard and squirm around a little bit, and they don't like that feeling. Don't like it. You see, most people are content with their lives, and either blatantly or secretly, they refuse to change. They don't know. They're not going to change for you. They're not going to change for God. They are okay where they're at. And when you start preaching, that's one of the things, if you look at the world today and you look at the things that are accepted in society today, because conviction works. If two people walk into this room that we don't approve of their lifestyle, we let them know they're not going to come in here. You know why? Conviction. They don't want to feel that way. But they love to come in here and wave it around in your face and shove it down your throat and make you accept it. And you have to sit here and you have to be quiet. Not anymore. Not anymore. See, the reason that conviction works is because it makes them feel uncomfortable. That's why they want to keep us silent. They want us to be quiet and not say anything about it. And so they can meander around in here and they can wave it in your face and they dare you to say anything. And if you do, you're the one in trouble. You're the one. And so you start to feel convicted for doing the right thing. You shouldn't feel that way. If you have no intention of changing, why do you claim to be a Christian? I mean, if you're going to come to Christ and you're going to continue to be the same person that you were before, why are you going to tell anybody that you're a Christian? If they can't tell the difference between you now and the you before you were a Christian, why are you going to claim to be a Christian? Paul rolled up into places and he knew they weren't Christians. And he claimed to be a Christian and he showed them what it meant to be a Christian. His life certainly changed, didn't it? You can look at the man that Paul was before to the man that he was after. Second Corinthians 5:17. This shows us that certainly God wants you to be a different person. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what are you carrying over from your past life that can't make you change when God has said, I have forgiven you and I'm going to make you a new person? So why would you go back and continue to act like the same person? Anybody beating your head in? Anybody run you out? Maybe you're running them off. Maybe they don't want to be around you. Paul deemed it necessary for a soul to go through what he had to go through for your sake. If Paul would have been here and it would have been you that he saw that needed Christ, he would have took the hit. Not the kind of person he was before. He was the one giving the hits. You see, the concept of becoming a new creation, yet being the same old person, is something that these people, the ones that attacked Paul, they didn't see. They didn't want to see anything was wrong with it. Because when Paul rolled up in there, he chastised Christians, non-Christians, non-believers, Jews, Gentiles. He put it on the line. You claim to be a Christian. He looked you in the face and he said, you're going to be a Christian. You act like a Christian. Hey, you say you want to seek God? Come here, I'll show you God. And somebody says, I don't want anything to do about God. And he says, well, why not? And they smack him upside the head and run him out of town. He'd go right back. And the Bible says, trembling. Trembling. He was scared of them to some degree. I don't know how anybody could take that much abuse and not go in and wonder what in the world is going to happen to me next. Be like on pins and needles going around, like, oh my gosh. Eventually they did that, but the masses did everything that they wanted. It kind of sounds like Jesus, don't it? Yeah, you're right. They did everything that they wanted to do to him. And the only thing they wanted him to do was shut up and stop making them feel bad. That's what they wanted. Stop making you feel bad. The sad reality is nobody likes to come face to face with the real problems that they are not willing to change. When you see yourself for a moment and realize that you're a soul that could displease God because you're playing games. See, we don't like to think that, okay? Because we're sitting here, we're listening, we're struggling, we're doing. But we don't like to think that there is a part of us that we have drawn a line in the sand and we said, we're not going to change this. Don't do that. Paul certainly had reasons to be upset. He certainly had reasons to boast, and he certainly had reasons to be the man. Never once did he exalt himself up. Never once. And he did that for your sake. Because see, if you're honest with yourself, and we have to be at this is fact. Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. The majority of what we read, he is speaking to you, and he suffered for you to read those words. He suffered for you to read those words. And he did it for one reason. I mean, he wanted to save your soul. The only way you're going to save your soul is for you truly to see yourself for who you really are. And that is not an easy thing to do because you don't want to change that. And that's that conviction that comes upon you, and you don't like that. And they stoned him and they run him out of town, and all he was trying to do was show people Jesus Christ. You see, being a Christian is not a Rotary Club meeting or a lodge night ritual. Your sins are so deep-rooted and have so much control in our minds and our hearts and our actions that Jesus had to die to bring them to light. Our sin is so black, so dark, and has such a clutch on us that when we look at Jesus and we see that He died to give us a chance, it breaks that chain for just a moment. And that's what they said on the day of Pentecost. Lord, I mean, on the day of Pentecost, they said, what shall we do? Because there's two things that have to happen. You have to see yourself for who you really are. That's what the gospel does. It brings conviction upon your soul, upon your mind, and upon your heart. And you have to see Jesus for who He really is. The Son of the living God. Truly, the Son of the living God that you killed. And Paul fought this fight because he went in and talked to people like us and they beat his head in for it. I don't want to hear this mess. I don't want to change. I don't want to be who you want me to be. I'm fine with who I am. Get out of here. And every chance that Paul got to speak to somebody that would listen, he took it. Shipwrecked, head beat in, lashed, cane, rocks, whatever. It was worth it to him. This is the other half of this, the verse that we started off with. When he said all these things came upon him, and look what he said. He said, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, we just read those. He says, my deep concern for the people. It says all the churches. But I want to make it personal for the people in the churches. He said, I was willing to go through all of that for my deep concern for the souls of the people. He says, who is weak? He says, am I not weak? What strength do we really have? Well, I tell you what, it's real easy to fire off and tell somebody what you're going to do and stand up for yourself versus accepting that humiliation that comes upon you. It's much harder to do that. That's not weakness. A lot of people tell you it is, but it's not. I'm not advocating you don't stand up for yourself. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about that for the gospel's sake, for a soul's sake, we should be willing to take a hit for someone to see a difference between being a Christian and the world. He says, who is made to stumble? He says, I do not burn with indignation. Paul said, all this stuff comes upon me. You don't think I'm mad? You don't think I have a reason to fight back and to say that I've washed my hands of everybody? But he didn't. And that's our example. See, Paul was willing to be humiliated. He was willing to be beaten. Live in days of fear so those words he preached to you might take root in your lives. That you might actually see why God needs to change your life. You listen and take these words in, and you might actually see that there was a need for God to die to save you. That you're not able to save yourself. And Paul, look what it cost Paul to bring these things to light. He stood before men and he preached these things and they tried to kill him because it made them so mad. And it wasn't Paul. It wasn't the words. It was that they truly saw who they really were. Because that's what the Word of God does. It reveals us to ourselves. The deeper we dig, the more that we see how righteous God is. And we should gain strength from that, that we could follow Him and make a difference in someone else's life as He's made a difference in our life. Your example as a Christian has been called to none less. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. All of these things that Paul took upon himself because it was worth something to save another soul, our examples has been called to this. We can't say that we don't want to do this. That's not what we're called for. We're called to be a witness for Christ. Sometimes that's going to be easy and sometimes that's going to be hard. But it better be worth it. We have family that we love. We have friends that we love. Or take the other side. Would you have the prophets of old, and there was many of them, John the Baptist, Jesus Himself, and all the apostles suffer as they did for your sake. And then when it came your turn, you wouldn't lift a finger for anybody else. You would have all these people suffer to get you to where you're at today, but you're not willing to make a change for the sake of somebody else. Our witness has been called as the same witness for Paul. Because when we lead these things beside, we can teach our children these things. We can read these scriptures to them. They can sit here and listen to us. But they have to see us practice this. They have to see us discipline ourselves with this. They have to see us humble ourselves under this word. And if they don't see that, they're just words. We can't shoulder the burden. I guarantee you one thing, you can follow somebody into hell, but you won't ride their coattails into heaven. On that new heaven and new earth, that won't happen. You better be here because you want to hear the Word of God. You better be here because you love. You better be here because you want to sacrifice. Care for one another. Paul said, all these things come upon me, but the one thing he said right here, besides these other things, my deep concern for all the people. How do we help? How do we make a difference in somebody's life? You can look around at the condition of your life and those around you. And it may show for your time that your generation is the one where it stops because you weren't willing to do what it took to carry on the teachings of Christ. You have somebody stand before you and tell you that you're not willing to do what it takes. And maybe your life is falling apart because you chose not to serve God. He went to the bathroom. You have someone stand up here and tell you that you're not willing to carry on the teachings of Christ? Well, see, now you might know why Paul got his head beat in. Because of all the people that should be willing to make a change and all the people that have to suffer change and all the things that have to move forward and have to grow, that's us. That's everybody sitting here. We talked about it this morning. We talked about how the world is coming against us and how things are getting harder. All the things that are crammed down your throat that you just have to accept. And they're pushing you into a corner where you have to make a stand. You see, it was words like this that for Paul that they got his head beat in. Because he didn't come to people and say, I'm so glad that everybody's here this morning because I want to show them Christ. I want to show people the love of God. I'm so glad that everybody's here. Let me tell you how much God loves you. He brought it front and center. You want to be a Christian? You act like a Christian. You want to know God? I'll show you God. And if you don't want anything to do with God, then you tell me why you don't. When Paul spoke these words to those people, it made them so mad that they tried to kill him. And he would encourage you to live in such a way. He said it would be better that you live the way that he did, that he would encourage that. Because it's God that lights the fire in you. It's God that helps you see that it is worth it. Because every single person sitting here today is worth it. Right? Isn't it? Yes. We don't want the world to claim one of our own. We don't want to see that happen. So we have to chastise and we have to rebuke and we have to encourage. All of these things have to take place. And Paul has called our witness to be that way. I've never been run out of town. I don't know if I've ever really been run off from my family. I guess when I was a kid, I felt uncomfortable being around all the grown-ups. I just thought it was silly, wanted to do something else. I can only relate to about half these things that Paul's talking about. But I tell you what, if we were to live the life that Paul has asked us to live in Scripture, when he says, follow me as I follow Christ, to have the kind of dedication that he has, if we would have that same dedication, then we certainly would not be the same person that we were before we became a Christian. God's not going to let you sit idle. The devil will. You sit idle long enough, you're going to run out of gas. You get going, you might make it to your destination before you run out of gas. God does not want us to sit idle. We've got to be about something. And sadly, one of the things that we have to be about is we have to make a stand for the true plan of salvation. We have so many people today that believe in a false sense of security. How do you wake them up? By coddling them? Or speaking these strong words to them? That's your decision. Now, I can't make you go out and witness a certain way. I think we have to grow into who we are as a Christian. We have to grow into what God can use us for because we don't really know. It's just like a kid as they grow up. They try to figure out their place in life, what they're going to do, what they want to do, if it's possible to do what I want to do. What's this all about? And as a Christian, we got to find out where we are effective for the sake of Christ. And be willing to be put there and to do that. On the day of Pentecost, when the apostles stood and they preached the first gospel sermon, they preached them to a people that had said, they took them, they beat them, commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus. They watched Jesus die. When they preached that first gospel sermon, these apostles knew what it meant to make that stand. To stand up before 1 million Jews and say, let the house of Israel assuredly know that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. They knew what weight that those words carried among their kinsfolk and among the world that they lived in. And those that wanted to make a difference, those that were willing to entertain the thought that, you know, maybe I'm not the person that God wants me to be. Maybe there is a need to change. They said, what can we do? Peter had an answer. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. That Spirit is in you today and is alive and is strong. We just have to listen. Let Him work. Find out where you can be effective for God and do it. And do it. There are people counting on you. There are people that think that you are there for them. There are people that think that you have their back. Have it. Do it. They need you. Paul said, I did all of these things that happened, the stripes, the rods, the stones, and at the end of the day, the great deep concern for the church came upon me. And he was able to do it again the next day. Do you have a deep love for God? Do you know Him in the way of salvation is the way that I've explained here that we can read from Scripture? What's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?